So,
can I lay down?
Yeah, Donnie's a little tired. You can lay down if you want to. That's fine. Yeah.
I would love to lay down.
So we're gonna jump into things here pretty quick. But that last song, talking about holy, 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 and Peter talks about this desire to be pure because we want to get close to God, right? We start seeing how good God is. Sometimes inside of you, there's just this desire to be pure so you can get closer. And sometimes we don't know how to carry that out for more than just a good feeling, though. And we're kicking off this series called Be Transformed. We're going to be in Romans 12 and camping out there for about 6 weeks. Our slide kind of cut off a little bit. That's my bad on that. But we're going to be taking it slow in Romans 12. And the reason is, like, there's a lot of goodness in this chapter about how to be close together and how to be who God wants us to be together. But it's not going to work if you don't want it, right? We've probably all tried to help a friend who we really wanted to get sober, or we really wanted something for them. But if you've ever tried to help somebody who didn't want the help as much as you wanted to give it, it doesn't go well, right? And so Donnie and I can try some stuff up here today, but like, we can't really be helpful to you unless Jesus does something. But even Jesus, because he's a gentleman, he's not going to force himself on you, right? Like, if you don't want to be close to him, it's not going to happen, right? So before we even get into Romans 12, I think, like, you got to say, like, do I really want to be different? Do I really want to get close to God? Because the rest of this doesn't matter if you don't want it, right? And so I'm excited to kind of pick Donnie's brain and make him tell us some stories. But we're going to read a couple verses before we do that. So Romans chapter 12 is where we're going to be. We're going to be just two verses today. If you got a Bible, I'd love for you to flip open to actually Romans 12. Table contents right there in the beginning of the Bible. If you need the page number, you can elbow the person next to you, see if they know where it's at. But Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. So here it comes. The very first word of verse 1 is therefore. And anytime you're reading in the Bible and there's therefore or for or because, it means even more so than normal, pay attention to what came before it. And there's an awesome little like hymn or song or poem about God's mercy right before this in 11. But this week, as I was trying to figure out, like, what should we point back to? Romans, the first 11 chapters of Romans is really setting up this chapter. And that therefore is really like, here's all this stuff Paul put together. And this week, if you were really hungry for Jesus and you're like, you know what, I'm going to read all these 11 chapters, right? Here's some stuff that you would encounter in those 11 chapters. You would encounter something that you have a hard time believing. So some of you would have a hard time believing that God loves you. And that even before you did anything right, Jesus was willing to die for you. Some of you have a hard time believing that humanity is messed up and we've pushed God away and God's let us do some terrible stuff and some evil stuff. And left to ourselves, we start doing some evil stuff. Some of us have a hard time actually swallowing that. That, like, without Jesus' help, it's hopeless. And for some of us, that's hard, right? Some of us don't want to think that hell is real, or don't want to think that left to ourselves we're going to go evil, right? So whatever you fall on that idea, as you're reading through those first 11 chapters of Romans, you're going to see, like, God's way is different than the way Jake Taylor would have written it or any of us would have written it. But the overarching theme, if you really come to God, is that God wants to have mercy on you and on us. Like, he sees where we're at, and he wants a fresh start. He wants to give us another chance, right? So that's the therefore. And since we're going to be in Romans 12 a lot, if you're like, man, I'm hungry for more of this, read those 11 chapters this week. And say, Jesus, I want to understand this whole thing so I can change. And if you're like, man, I don't really like reading, that's not my thing, it's actually, you kind of have a head start there. If you think, like, man, I don't know if I can handle actually understanding what God's saying, that's the humble attitude that probably will serve you well. If you come and like, oh yeah, I can do that easy, I'll figure it out, I already know it, you're probably in a bad spot, right? You're behind. But it'd be fine if you said, you know what, I don't understand this. I'm going to go to Mike or to Josh right in front of him, or to Jerry, right? Or to Johnny, and say, like, let's read it together, right? Or to Carlin, say, let's read it together, and maybe we can understand it together. That would be even better, right? If you got that humility, if I can't figure it out. Okay, so, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. We'll be talking about that verse more in the coming weeks, but verse 2, verse we were talking about last night with Another Chance, is do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. This is where we're going to camp out today. And Donnie, talk to us about roughly 10 years ago and something you learned at the Maple House. Tell us as much or as little as you want.
So,
yo, ho, can you hear me?
So 11 years ago, I was heavily addicted to drugs, and I thought that meth was my only issue. If I could just get off meth, then everything would be all right. So I went to a place called the Maple House to try to get off meth, and they told me that one thing you're going to have to change, and that's everything. I'm sorry, I'm trying to be energetic. I'm so dead right now. So that's great. Change everything. And if I just change everything, then I'll be able to have my life back, or what I thought was what I wanted at that time. The beautiful thing about Maple House was that they gave you directions on how to start changing everything. Contrary action, you know, one of the simple things, don't throw your cigarette butts on the ground. You know, you just do all these little things that you got so used to doing before. And that was where you guys can hear me, right? I have a big mouth. Yeah. So
it's fun. Normally I'm not the energetic one when we're doing stuff together, so it's fun to be in this spot.
Yeah.
Cause that was the slowest.
I just want you guys all to know that next time I do a singing thing, he's going to have to sing. Cause he does.
Yeah. I don't want to. I can tell you that. I'll just be honest.
No.
So we're going to move on from that idea.
No.
And
No, but that's pretty much what it is, you know, just the milk. I was being fed milk at that point in time.
So this is a Donnie phrase from a long time ago, maybe, but I remember you talking about being tricked into service work while you're there. Tell us about that.
I got tricked by Bob doing service work. Coach Bob. Yeah, that was coming here, but that's the next part. So once you realize that you need to change everything, then it's kind of up to you to find out how to change everything. You know, to put in the work. And if you really don't know, then there's going to be, if you do it right, you're going to let other people kind of direct you. A lot of people here are in a program now to where, you know, it's someone's directing you and telling you how to live life now. So you would have sponsors and they would tell you just to do certain different things and service work and mow lawns and pick up trash. And that's, you know, so you end up helping people every day and don't realize how good it makes you feel until you just start realizing how good it makes you feel.
Yeah, it works if you work it, right?
It works if you work it.
But what Donnie's saying there, the wisdom he was getting from Maple House, if there's only one thing you got to change, and that's everything. I know we got some folks that have heard some things from Jesus over the years. How many people have had the Holy Spirit tell you that? Of like, hey, actually, you're going to need to go... all the keys, all the pockets, the little pocket, like Josh Monk used to say, right? Like, you got to do it all, right? It's not a half measure. It's not a little bit, right? No matter whether you've done meth, or whether you just gossip about people or whatever thing you can't let go of, Jesus isn't going to just fix the thing you don't like about yourself. Like when we sign up for Jesus, he pushes us eventually to like, you got to give me it all.
Before I want to interrupt you because
go for it.
I didn't believe in Jesus whenever I first went into the Maple House. I had no idea what God was. I had no, like it wasn't even, God wasn't even really even here. It was basically, I wanted off meth. I wanted to get my kids. I wanted my life back. I was going to go back out south, and that was my goal. So I was to do everything. I was to change everything about me for that reason only. It had nothing to do with God. It wasn't until I started coming to Maywood, and I started being around people that did love Jesus, and I started seeing it here, that I was able to put the, you only have to change one thing, and that's everything, with renewing your mind, and how that was starting to slowly renew my mind. Yeah. So when you do start changing everything in your the things that you do worldly every day, and you start feeling that, you know, what you spend most of your day doing stuff in God's will, because now I've given my body to God and don't even realize it as a sacrifice, which is crazy because 10 years later, and now I'm realizing that Romans 12:1 is what I ended up doing to get to Romans 12:2, which is really crazy, but it takes Coach Jake to do that. So, yeah. What else do you want?
So here's something else we want. So you come to Maywood, you realize I need Jesus' help. You start changing to obey Jesus. That was about 10 years ago, and then it's just been great, right? It's been easy.
Oh, yeah, everything's awesome.
It's been mature. It's been smooth. Yeah.
Of course.
So there we go. Okay.
Yeah.
So there's some big, big wins. Your daughters are in your life. Mm-hmm. Two of your daughters sang last night.
It wasn't meth. It wasn't getting off meth that got my kids back. It was being reliable, dependable, present, and all that good stuff. And I was none of that before. So just so you guys know, meth was not my problem. I'm sure you guys, you know, can relate. Yeah. Yeah.
So
I was a little ate up.
But there was, you talked about contrary action, and it started small maybe with cigarette butts, but there's been some contrary action over the years.
I started doing dishes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was a big one for you.
It was a huge one. Yeah. I did not like doing dishes either. And I wouldn't do, like, in my addiction and before I found God, I would throw dishes away. I still don't like doing dishes, but, yeah. One of the things that helped me with contrary action was I would go to my kid's mom's house early in my recovery, and I would just go clean her entire kitchen up, and then it would give me this renewed feeling, you know what I'm saying? It would lift my spirit up, and I would feel really good about it.
There's a lot to that. I'm maybe not going to unpack all the details. It's Donnie's. Maybe this isn't the right spot, but just doing something that you hate doing, that you've avoided for the mom of your kids, and then leaving the house. Like, there's a lot of that. There's a lot to that. So we'll let you guys figure that out.
Take that. Now what?
So he still had some stuff to work on, right?
Right,
yeah. But so tell me about some other contrary action over the years. What else you come to and you're like, Jesus, I don't want to do that.
You know, so the beauty of it is, though, I mean, to be honest with you, whenever I started putting my head on a shelf and just doing stuff, and whenever I was digging deeper into God, and I was spending all of my time here, I was spending all of my time doing service work. I had this really good mentor that kept me busy, Coach Bob. Like, he always had me doing something. I called it being sucker bobbed because, you know, for real, because Bob would be like, hey, come up here and hang out with me. And next thing you know, he's gone and I'm working, doing something. But I was on this cloud, man, and always, like, always happy. People have always told me that I was irritating because I was so happy and I was dancing and I was singing and I was just in this really good mood all of the time. And I remember up before I was introduced to Maywood and to Jesus that I wasn't that way. I was always, you know, depressed, and I always felt like that 80-year-old, 20-year-old, you know. I just wasn't happy, and I just felt like there was no purpose of living. There was no meaning. I was literally conformed to the world, and the world had a hold of me, and it was beating me every day and just destroying me from the inside out.
So if somebody's here today and they're in that spot where the world has shaped them and left them empty, hopeless, what do you want to tell them?
Put your head on a shelf and do something for someone else.
So,
I mean, and you know, I don't, I'll probably really destroy this thing that I'm about to try to say, but we are all extremely selfish. And even when we're depressed, it's because we're not getting something that we want. So if you're really sad and depressed and you feel like you just want to end it all, it's probably because you're being selfish. You want something that you can't have, and poor me. And it's just, so yeah, put your head on, take yourself out of every situation that you're in, and usually you could find some joy.
So, I mean, that poor me, and this is what I want, and I'm not getting it when I want it. I mean, you've had some of that, right? You want to share any of that with us?
No.
Okay, you don't have to. We didn't talk about that ahead of time.
We're not talking about me right now.
Okay, I got you. There's some story there. But Joe Parker said something down in Sunday school. It was really good about there was a time where he was trying to conform God into his own plans. Like, God, do this stuff. Help me with this. And I don't know if he used the word transforming or not, but he talked about it was real different to say, God, how do I fit into what you're doing? So I know you had some plans for your life, but also along the way, you're trying to figure it out of like, how do I fit things into what God wants me to be doing? So whether you want to talk to us about another chance or something else, tell us a story about fitting your life into God's plans rather than trying to cram and just get God to help you.
So I don't really understand that question, I guess.
Yeah, tell us about you doing the next thing that God wants you to do rather than just trying to get God to bless your plan.
That's every day, it seems like, anymore. Like, I don't, my only plan is just to be dependable and reliable. And like, I don't know. My plan right now, I mean, honestly, the reason I put this event together, this last one, is because I was getting outside of just the joy and the things that I was doing daily to be, you know, where I was on a cloud. I started letting the things that are going on in the world kind of pull me back in and drag me down. And it was, you know, maybe I got outside. I got to where I felt like things that I could not control were controlling me, instead of just, you know, letting that stuff go and staying focused.
Yeah, you talked to me the other day about it was a big warning sign for you, the way you were handling stress. You realized, like, this isn't good.
Yeah, no, I was secluding myself, isolation, just, you know, dwelling on the problem instead of just, you know, getting out and getting to it. I've found that if I just wake up and, you know, and stay grateful, then God usually puts me where I need to be, and I'm good. Like, I don't make a lot of plans like that, like you were talking about, to where I'm putting my plans inside of what God's will is, because I feel like my life is God's will at this point. Because if I really honestly take a look at my life and where I'm at, and I mean, and truly. Look at it, I believe that I shouldn't, there's absolutely no reason for me to be where I'm at in life. Like, it's 100% his plan, not mine. Like, if it was up to the life that I had, the plan I had, I should be either dead or in prison the rest of my life. So I truly believe that. I really truly believe that I don't deserve where I'm at in life, that I'm here for something, for his plan. And usually when I get down to it, it's for my daughter. So
I don't want you guys to miss a couple big things Donnie pointed out there, because if you've been coming to Maywood for a minute, maybe you've heard that first thing that Donnie was saying a little bit ago about if you're hopeless, if you're stuck, come to Jesus for the first time and he'll give you all this new stuff and a whole new way to live. But what Donnie was just sharing there recently is Donnie's been a Christian for some years. And then the stress of the world is sucking all the joy out of his life. And he's having to choose to remember who he is without God and to be grateful. He's having to choose to do some things so that stress doesn't overwhelm him, right? Because not everybody that comes to Maywood for some years and gets started with Jesus winds up continuing to have a good relationship with their family 10 years later. Winds up doing things that's bringing people together to shine a light on Jesus, right? Like it's not all about just a good start. It's about noticing those warning signs when they come in and doing something about them, right? So you were talking to me the other day about doing what you did at first. Get into that specifics. If somebody's here today and they're like, man, I noticed the darkness is creeping in, right?
Yeah. So what I did at first was I made sure I was here on Wednesday night. This is a shameful plug. Wednesday night small groups.
You don't have to be ashamed. You just
I'm just letting you know, yeah. Wednesday night was where, besides the meetings, you know, making sure I went to meetings daily, I made sure I was here every Wednesday night for small group and where I was around other men, and I got open and we held each other accountable and we just, you know, created that bond. I recommend that more than anything. Find some men or women that are on the same path as you, that want the same things as you, who are trying to get to the same place as you, and just, you know what I'm saying, be open and let them hold you accountable. That's a big deal.
It's easy to say, like, hey, let them hold you accountable, but how does somebody do that? Like, what does that look like?
Being open, not isolating. Letting the truth, you know, don't take the truth as an offense. Take the truth as a truth and roll with it.
Yeah, again, and I just want to slow you guys down of, like, showing up to church, and if you put on a mask, nobody can help you. You got to say what's really going on. And we're all sinners. Like, we're not going to all handle it perfect, right? We're going to let you down at times. But also, when somebody hits you with something you don't want to hear, an openness to accept the truth when it's not what you don't want to hear. Like, it's a big deal, right? Like, it's a big deal that when your whole life's falling apart, it's one thing to change everything. But it's another thing when you notice, like, I'm not the way I should be on the inside and no one else has noticed yet. And then you let the honesty come out. You talk about it and you let people give you feedback and you accept it. I mean, these are big, humble steps, right? Like, they're not easy to do. But if you're going to stay with Jesus for a long time, you have to do this sort of stuff. But be honest and get some help from some other people, right? Okay, so our verse was, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Mm-hmm. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. We have a few minutes left, Donnie. It's just open time. What do you want to tell us?
First off, I want to say thank you to everybody that helped with last night. The youth, especially Katie. Katie and Serenity and Tori and John and John's bigger brother. I forgot his name. Sorry. But the singers, yeah, they really did. Daniel helping and just being supportive as he was. It was a huge deal. Everybody helped with food. I promise you one thing. They say it's me. All I do is I have a vision, and I do what I can to get the right people involved, and the right people involved always come with open minds and with a willingness to serve, and the events always come together, and it's so, they're just so amazing. Good stuff. I even saw Jake clapping last night in rhythm. It was amazing.
For a little while. I got off enough that somebody next to me stopped clapping because I messed them up. So that I stopped. But it was Brandon. Brandon's like, yeah, I remember that moment. Yeah.
So like I said before, we can all come into the with the idea of it's time to change everything. But if we don't know what to do, we're just going to be people with the idea and not people with the actions. If you do dig into your Bible, get into accountability groups, go to church, go to meetings, and just surround yourself. What's crazy is that what I was wanting to say in the beginning of this is when they said change everything or change one thing and that's everything. And then it seems like every time you go to a meeting and you hear something, and if you go to church on a Wednesday, if you go to church on a Sunday, for some reason it always aligns, man. Well, for me it did. Something always aligned. It was almost like, you know, at some point you felt like they were talking, you know, the pastor was talking to the person running the meeting, and you know, they had this like plan, like, okay, we're going to talk about this, and then Sunday we'll hit them with this, and it'll all work out. It's just crazy, man, how we can go to these meetings, and these meetings will tell you faith without works is dead, and change one thing, and then you come to church, and it's renew your mind and don't transform, because man, once you start changing everything, you realize that everything that you were doing was worldly. And if you dig into this church, you'll find out that everything that's opposite of that worldly stuff is in God's will. And
I want to just share briefly that one of the beautiful things God's doing here at Maywood is he's bringing different people together. You know, our Ephesians vision passage about equipping people to use their gifts. Donnie's right about my rhythm. And like everything that happened last night, all I did that helped make last night happen was I said yes to Donnie a couple times. Like I just showed up and ate some food and clapped poorly. And maybe I'm singing next time, so I'll have to do more. But maybe not. Hopefully not. But so all that to say, it's wonderful when stuff happens here. It's totally outside of my gift set. That's glorifying Jesus in a way that I never could, right? And it wasn't all Donnie. It's a whole bunch of people totally different from me, right? And so it's a joy for me to get to be around these moments because I feel like it's like a first fruit. I can remember even this season, anytime you're doing like planting with a tomato or whatever, that very first one that's ready, it's exciting, right? And you know there's a lot more coming. And like if you were here last night, I feel like that's the first fruit of stuff that Jesus wants to be doing here, right? It's not all musical. It's all Jesus using what he's put inside of us to do stuff that pulls people into him, right? And so it's going to look a lot different when Benjamin does it than when I do it or when Chrissy does it or Maddox or Erica or whoever it is, right? Or Abe, like whoever it is, right? But I also want to tell you something that's super sweet about it is if you'll get into this idea of being close to people that aren't like you and helping them along the way, you know, Donnie and I have gotten to become friends over the years, right? I have my little nerdy helmet on. I ride by his house and I stop and talk to him. And it's like, without Jesus.
Throw tomatoes at him.
Right. Without Jesus, like none of this would have been happening, right? And last night, one of the last songs we did, like it was super good for me to just take a step forward with Jesus, right? And that's the way it works, right? It's not just like one strong person pulling everybody along. Like the way Jesus wants us to work as a body is like we help each other, right? Like I was blessed and I didn't really give anything last night, right? And it's just like show up and God's going to keep doing this sort of stuff at Maywood, right? It's not about one person. It's about us using our gifts together, right? Donnie, you want to pray to close us out? Pray over everybody?
Sure.
Yeah.
Lord God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much for this opportunity for us all to come together and just remember how blessed we are. God, you do so much in our lives, and it's up to us to continue to live in your will, to do what you need us to do, God. And sometimes it's hard for us to remember what your will is, God, and it's easy for us to get sucked back into what's going on in the world. And I just ask that you just take this time right now and just bring every one of us back to you, God, and just bless us into this week. Bless our families. In Jesus' name, amen.